I like how you said that. An adventure. We need to start using that at my office. You know, like we have an outage and it costs millions of dollars. And it's like, no, we had an adventure, guys. It was an adventure. We have this creepy term for it, an event. And I'm like, but now I'm like worried about people's events. I don't want to attend them. How's your day? Oh, there was an event. Oh, sorry.
I mean, I still enjoy outings, but outages, not as much.
Right.
Wait, you know what? I saw Trey drink something, and I'm like, I don't have a drink. Let me grab something really quick. I'll be right back.
All right, what have you got for us there, Ruli? How is the headphones there?
I'm going to pull a Tom, and I'm going to have a root beer.
Oh, what kind, though? No, I mean, there's some really damn good root beers.
This is just some, like, weird probiotic wannabe root beer thing.
Oh, I've had that one. It's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
It made my poops pretty nice, too.
I just have lemonade,
poops.
But it has raspberry. I don't know how that impacts my poops, but
let's do this.
I don't hear anything.
I'm bobbing along though because I can hear
Damn
my head. I hear it every night in my dreams.
Oh God, I was prepared to fuck the share button. God damn it! Second time's a charm.
Let's do this.
Welcome, dear listener, to the QQCast. It's Thursday, May 30th, 2024, and we're your hosts, Tom DuPont, Raul Torres, and Trey Esmond. Where's Zachary?
Is that having fun or something? At like a fancy dinner or something?
That does sound like him. He's prone to going to the fanciest of dinners. Hi, Trey. How are you?
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back.
And this, dear listener, is Quest 329. Are you guilty of enjoying a good breakfast? I can't imagine why I would have said the word guilty on this podcast today. No reason. No reason at all. Ruli, no reason. I'm sure you're not smiling and giggling for any particular reason. You're not guilty of something.
34 different types of breakfast?
Huh?
We're going to talk about 34 different types of breakfast?
34 different...
There's only 34?
Oh, I'm sure there's way more. But
well, 34 that I'm guilty
today.
Of currently. Yes, I paid the waiter a hush tip. To cover up my love affair with corned beef hash. All right. So, gentlemen, breakfast. This is really stupid, but I actually thought it'd be really fun to talk about fucking breakfast. Because this is like, it's like a holy war between people. I don't mean pancakes versus waffles. Obviously, waffles are better. I mean all of it. People are like, I do or don't like brunch. I do or don't like types of eggs, which I'm sure we're going to throw down about. So I figure we just start off. At the most basic bitch of breakfasts, Das Cereal.
Oh, I'd watch that movie and the miniseries too.
I'd watch a whole serial of them.
But it didn't tell me the goddamn DVDs already. Anyway.
Yeah. So okay, double fun here. You guys have kids. I don't. What do the kids eat these days in terms of the cereals? Is everybody still eating the chocolate covered sugar bombs from Calvin and Hobbes or? Are healthy hipster things more in vogue right now? What do the kids eat?
I mean, we're big hipsters, but ironically, she doesn't really like cereal that much. She'll eat like some boring ass flakes and stuff occasionally, but mostly she just really wants to eat these. Trader Joe's has these mini chocolate pancakes that they're just crack for children. She just loves this shit. And now she makes them herself now because it's one of those things you get from the freezer and you just put in the microwave. So I'll come downstairs on a weekend and find the microwave open, like the carnage everywhere, and like a box half open, half eaten box that had been chewed into and thawing. And I'm like, are you a cat?
Oh, I'm glad there's not a Trader Joe's around here. I might have to go get me some chocolate. Oh, wait, there is, son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I know what I'll be doing this weekend.
They're actually pretty good. I've only had a few in my life, unfortunately.
Now, my kiddos will eat the Lucky Charms, the Cocoa Pebbles, whatever we have. They'll eat the cinnamon oatmeal, too.
Cinnamon oatmeal? Tell me more.
It's oatmeal.
What do you mean cinnamon? I don't know if you were like trying to say Cinnamon Toast Crunch or like actual just cinnamon oatmeal.
No, oatmeal. It's like, it's the instant oatmeal that's like in those little bags. You throw
Quaker Oats. Yeah, I eat that all the fucking time. We will talk about oatmeal.
So like we're two tiers up above cream of wheat at this point. Like we're talking about the real shit.
Yes. And a bonus item that I will probably talk about later because it is probably a weird breakfast item, but that's just a teaser.
You better keep a list. I don't want to get teased and not get that payoff. I want to get that sweet, sweet 130,000 payout, baby. Subtle. We're so subtle. Okay, so, dude, fucking Kellogg's, man. Kellogg's has poisoned this country with their fucking sugar-crazed bullshit. Have you actually gone and looked at the fucking stats on these cereals? Like, the healthy adult...
Why would
adult,
you do that? Why would you do that?
That's also a good point. But, like, the adult shit is, like, literally just as much sugar as cocoa. Like, I still love me some Cocoa Pebbles. It's just as fucking unhealthy. It's absurd. Cinnamon Toast Crunch kicks ass, and it is just as healthy as fucking, like, the strawberry grain and oat crap I can't even think of right now.
Well, so
this doesn't sound healthy at all.
This whole plays into my theory, though, that, like, I mean, like no one eats cereal because they have a lust for life. They're just coping, man. They're just getting through. It's not like a thing that, like, the pleasure is just baseline. Like, get me back to regular, please, God.
Okay, so what are the cereals of choice? All right, we just heard that the Chillins, they like the weird Trader Joe's or the badass Cocoa Pebbles and Fruity Pebbles. Big fan of those. Gentlemen, what's on your, because, like, honestly, occasionally I do enjoy some cereal, and so not frequently, maybe once a month I'll get a box of cereal and go through it over the course of that month, but, like, Apple Jacks still kick ass, Corn Pops still kick ass, Cocoa Pebbles still kick ass, but I've got some others that are a little weirder that I talk about. What's still on y'all's, what's in your breakfast bowl? I don't know.
I haven't had it in years now, but my last guilty pleasure cereal was the Reese's cereal, which was just literally fucking candy. And they actually sold it up there. Like, you check out the nutrition label, guys. Like, it's real bad for you. You should buy a box. And yeah, no, it's just candy. It's candy for breakfast. Like, it's like the Bagel Bites commercial. You know, like, candy in the morning, candy in the evening.
But, like, they made fucking, like, Cookie Crisp, and that was, like, their whole ad of cookies for breakfast.
But they weren't very good.
Yeah, they weren't very good people. And also they weren't very unhealthy, which is what that's not really a cookie then, is it?
Not really. It reminds me of the Oops All Marshmallows thing. What was that? The Lucky Charms did at one point, where it was like, there's just no cereal anymore. It's just marshmallows and milk. And I'm like, that's kind of gross.
I feel that way about the Captain Crunch Oops All Berries as well. I'm like, no, guys. Captain Crunch, if you actually think about it, is disgusting, and it cuts the fuck out of your mouth, but for some reason it's really good.
You shut your fucking mouth about the... Also, it's not Captain Crunch, it's Cap'n Crunch, you
bitch. I'm sorry. How informal.
You shut your whore mouth. You address the man, he has a rank. He had to earn that thing. He had to come up, you know.
Well, speaking of ranks... The knockoff cereal is always fun. I think most people go through a King Vitamin stage of their life.
Corporal Crispy.
I forget what's the other ones. It's like Marshmallow Mateys. Those are pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
So I get my general auto insurance, then I go down and get my Corporal Crunch cereal.
But I could tell the economy is falling on hard times, because I actually saw, like, the name brand cereal of, like, Lucky Charms in the bag. And I was, like, very confused. I'm like... This is not the bag cereal that I thought it would be. What's going on here?
Boxes are a luxury. Decadence
for the this economy, yes.
But we're all the hoi poi, so we eat bag cereal.
Oh, man. Okay, so honestly, one of the cereals I like the most, and I don't know why, it's just good old-fashioned Frosted Mini-Wheats. I don't know why. They're just like... Wheat was, Raul's face says it all.
Because you've always been like a 40-year-old man.
Don't worry. My next one's even weirder. But I eat one of those and I'm just like, want more.
No, I think Chloe has like some wheat cereal that's like autumn wheat or something. Like Kashi autumn wheat. I probably have to look in the box or something. But
there's something
it's fine every
there's
now
something
and
that
then.
Stephanie eats that's just like, it's like a high-end version of frosted wheat, basically. Like mom's best nature, whatever. It's got some stuff in it. And it seems nice. She likes it.
You guys ever tried that like magic spoon shit? Like the weird, supposed to be healthy for you?
Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah, it's horrible.
No, wait, what? Explain this to me. I'm totally in the dark.
You don't watch enough YouTube, dude. Manscaped and Magic Spoon. They're all about
that
shit.
I don't have commercials. I'm grandfathered in on the old school play. I don't know.
Lucky bastard. What do you pay per month in YouTube, since we were talking about this last episode?
Oh, I, like $10. I don't know. I got this thing in 2012, and
Oh,
it includes everything. I haven't ventured out of the garden because if I do, they'll close the gate behind me.
yeah.
Really explain Magic Spoon.
Magic Spoon is imagine
Hold on,
cereal.
I take it back.
Oh.
Really explain Magic Spoon.
Well, it's a good thing we're not sponsored, because imagine you want cereal and imagine you want to be healthy. Now put that Venn diagram together with deliciousness and they're mutually exclusive. It is probably like rocks. Just, you want rocks with your milk? Sure, why not? You want chocolate rocks? Great. You want vanilla rocks? Fantastic. You want these things that look like marshmallows but they're just more rocks? Magic Spoon.
It's just as good for your teeth as rocks, too. It's great.
Yeah, no, I think it was funny because Claudia actually got it to try it out, and she's like, this is gross, I don't want any. I'm like, I could have told you that by, like, everything on this box.
Okay. Oh my God. Magic Spoon, don't sponsor us. Okay, so here's my weird cereal, my last... oh, I'm sorry. Let me say one other cereal come beforehand. Count fucking Chocula kicks fucking ass, but it only comes out once a year, and that sucks.
Not if
Wait,
you stock
what?
Up and buy like 2 years' supply.
Really? Wait. So the count is in short supply? It's like a limited release thing, like Disney VHS. Like what?
No, it's like pumpkin spice. They just do it every now and then.
That's bullshit.
But I will say, like, I'm pretty sure like they've started to have them out more, because I swore I saw like a blueberry. Was
yeah,
it the...
no, he's
blueberry.
Just holding out. That's crap. I don't want to hear it about.
There's Count Chocula, Booberry, Frankenberry, and what's the werewolf one? It's a fucking fourth one.
I mean, I like that they really leaned into the Halloween monsters thing.
Yeah, it's great. Count Chocula, I don't know why. It's probably pure nostalgia. It probably tastes like shit to anyone who eats it now, but I have this thing for Count Chocula. I gotta get a box every year, dude. It's Count Chocula. Makes your poop purple. It's delicious.
I want to suck your chocolate. Like,
Okay, so the last thing I want to mention before we transition off cereal here is, here's the weird one. Ready? This is the old man cereal, Ruli, but then it gets weirder. The Quaker cinnamon oat squares, they're just those oat squares. That's all they are. They're delicious. No, don't know these. No. Okay, they're old man as fuck, but here's how you make them delicious. Okay, you get out a bowl. Now, before you put milk, you just get out a bowl. Take a little maple syrup, put maple syrup on there. But then you gotta let it soak in. So you gotta like prep your cereal 5 minutes in advance. Let that beautiful, beautiful syrup soak in. Then you milk it. Then you eat it. Baby, you got yourself an old Canadian breakfast right fucking there.
I'm looking at the box here. It's when the Quaker dude is almost as big as the cereal advertised, you know you have a problem. I don't know how enlarged protection you have to be, but no.
I want to see every detail, every crevice, every one of your gentle folds.
So there you
am
go.
Am I doing a good Zach Sandin with that creepiness? I think I got it.
All right, that's cereal. Anything to add to cereal, gentlemen?
No, it's pretty much just, again, like I said, it's boring, and we can move on.
All right. Okay, so shit you put in the toaster. That is our next category. Does anyone here, again, asking the kiddos first, does anybody here do the Popped Tarts?
My daughter doesn't know what a Pop-Tart is. I made a reference to one, and she was like, what's that, Dad? And I was like, I failed you.
You know, in some states, that's child abuse. Just saying.
Thank God we're not in the deep south.
No, I mean, they're aware of Pop-Tarts. I probably have them more for dessert than actual breakfast.
Well, which Pop-Tart then? What's the good
cinnamon?
Tip?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon sugar.
Obviously, yeah.
But do you get the shit on top, or is it just the regular actual?
Just the regular. Yeah, the regular.
Okay, thank God. So, like, Pop-Tarts are great until they started adding, like, s'mores on top. And I'm like, okay.
See, some of the fruit ones I'm kind of cool with, like the topping, but the cinnamon ones, no, dude, you got to just have no topping on that shit. Disgusting. Have topping.
You
want to
talk about guilty pleasure, though? Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart?
Yes.
Because that's a thing.
Yes.
That is so delicious.
That is the best. All right, now. Wow. So, like, you haven't lived in 1991 until, like, your school breakfast was one of these things coming out of one of those, like, Black & Decker toaster ovens.
And you're eating that while playing with your Super Mario Brothers 3 little plastic toy from McDonald's.
Oh, hell yeah, because you couldn't play the game because you only get 20 seconds per day. Thanks, Mom. Sorry, I'm not bitter. I'm fine. I'm well-adjusted.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so Pop-Tarts. Yeah, growing up, we had the non-frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts. Those are really good. Cinnamon sugar and frost is good. I do have a soft spot for the s'mores. Again, they're also kind of disgusting, but I have a soft spot for them. Don't know why. Yeah. So, okay, growing up, speaking of the early 90s, my grandparents bought like the discount off-brand Pop-Tarts from whatever the, you know, New England grocery store was. I couldn't even tell you what they are now.
So my theory here, either they're the worst thing ever or the best thing ever. Please enlighten us.
They're the best thing ever, and I don't know how to find them anymore.
What?
I don't know, man. Hey, back in the early 90s, before everything had consolidated under one super megacorp, hey, man, the off-brands, they still had to compete with each other back then, dude. They had a motivation to kick ass.
Oh, I mean, like, they had a motivation to reverse engineer this shit and do it locally with local ingredients, like actual maple syrup and stuff. And so, yeah, so sometimes you make a cargo cold and you actually get cargo.
By the way, I explain to people what cargo cults are all the time. No one has ever heard of that. I enlighten people all the time with the cargo cult.
No, it's important. I like the abstraction. It works out. In this case, doubly so, because, like, sometimes they actually don't work out.
Gentlemen, what else do you put in the toaster?
I don't actually own a toaster at this point. So
I was gonna say, I don't own a toaster either.
What? English muffins, guys. I fucking love English muffins.
Oh, I know. Your breakfasts are fantastic. as ad-libbed as they are.
In a toaster, though?
Yeah, look, all I have to do toaster English muffin.
The only thing I have patience for on like a workday morning is making myself an espresso and growling a bunch until about 10 a.m. So I don't know, man. Toaster seems like a bridge too far.
Toaster ovens are slow. Toasters are fast. What is wrong with you fucks? What am I going to Amazon Prime you a toaster? Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
I don't need toast, so, and Eggos work in the microwave. I don't understand.
We were going to get to Eggos, dude.
I don't know how you're divvying this up, but is an air fryer on this list? Where does it stand with toaster and ovens?
I'll give you partial credit. I don't know.
I really hope that you've made like a Benedict in your air fryer at least once in your life.
I haven't. Is that a thing?
It should be. Go get at it, motherfucker.
I mean, are we on the air fryer section, toasted, or are we going to toast? Because I think it's like toaster oven and then air fryer.
I have toasted many a sandwich and melted much cheese with my convection oven, topping on a sandwich. Oh, baby. Good stuff.
Yeah, nice. Which one's S tier? You know, I think the air fryer might be.
We're diving into air fryer territory. French toast sticks. Those are delicious. I love them more than my children do.
I love French toast, but I haven't done the French toast sticks. So do you put them on their plate and then they're like, Dad, I don't want to eat this. And you're like, oh, we'll take turns.
No, I mean,
one, two.
No, I mean, they'll just have one and I'll have like seven. It's a problem.
Oh, that's the best delicious thing. I love things that I like a lot and my child only likes a little bit because I get the leftovers, which is most of it. It's like, honey, you love migas. Let's get migas, both of us.
Okay, so this also goes into, it's breakfast, it's a breakfast food because that's what they eat, but I don't think it's a breakfast food because I don't think it's a breakfast food. So we have these chicken fingers that my daughter likes to take for lunch, and we'll just cook them up and kind of get them ready. But like my other daughter's like, oh, hey, you made chicken. I want chicken now. This is delicious. I'm going to eat it. So she has chicken fingers for breakfast.
What?
And why not? Yep, why
chicken
not?
Chicken fingers for breakfast?
It's more likely than you think.
I mean, my dog has chicken stew for breakfast, but that's different. He needs it for his kidneys. Your child's kidneys are fine, Raul. They don't need chicken for breakfast.
No one's making chicken stew for breakfast. I want to be your dog.
but I do think it's more so because our family is addicted to Chick-fil-A. So there have been times where we go get the chicken biscuit breakfast, and it's a little slice of Chick-fil-A at home.
That was the only thing I ever liked from Chick-fil-A, actually, was their little breakfast nugget biscuit sandwich thing. You put a bunch of honey on a piece of fried chicken, man, and a little tiny bun, and
Whataburger does this, the honey butter chicken biscuit, and it's quite good.
Never liked Whataburger, but that sounds good. Fuck you.
How did you not like Whataburger?
Because fuck Whataburger.
Man, oh, well, that's them's fighting words from where I'm from.
Okay, one last thing I wanted to mention before we move to the next category about putting it in the toaster. Did you gentlemen ever have the toaster strudel?
Oh, God, that thing was so, way overly sexed. Go ahead. I want to hear more.
Like, special occasion. Like, my mom would buy us a box of toaster strudels and be like, ooh, we have something special in the fridge.
Well, which type, though? Because I think there was, like, two. There was, like, the dessert ones, but then there was also the egg breakfast ones.
Oh no, this would have been like the Pop Tart knockoff, the fruit filling.
I totally forgot about the savory ones, but yeah, they had the OG though ones were the dessert breakfast, and they were like, you know, parts included. And, you had to put the icing on top and stuff. Like, never put the icing on before you zap it though. That's a mess.
No, but like in a pre lactose intolerant world, the toaster strudels with egg and sausage and cheese was just like amazing. I probably had those more than I should have.
The problem I had with toaster strudel was that there was way too much going on there. I was like Pop Tarts for the whole like rip open the bag with your teeth and just sort of throw them near the heat source or don't. I'm a sign, not a cop, you know. Toaster strudel required you to like kind of be part of the creating it aspect, and I feel like that's insane because the idea is they're MREs, right? They're meals ready to eat. Like what the hell?
I would always want to toast the Pop-Tart unless it was like, hey, look, the bus is coming out the window. Got to grab the shit and motherfucking run.
See, look at you being on time. Here I am catching the bus the second go around my block with a very cold Pop-Tart still in its bag, shoved in my back pocket. The way that you carry your smartphone these days.
All right, let's go into the poor man. I think we're like circling around it. The poor man's version of breakfast. So, to kick us off, Trey, I believe you used to make the Eggo McMuffin.
Oh, man, that shit was delicious. Yeah. So it turns out that Sam's Club back in, I guess, the early 2000s had some sort of crazy good pricing on Eggos. You could get like a pallet of Eggos, pretty much. I mean, it was like, I bought a box of it. Seriously, it was like 700 frozen. I managed to like in two freezers, you know. And so I experimented a little bit, and yeah, you could make a pretty damn good breakfast with, you know, a couple of eggs, bacon bits, and some Eggo waffles, the Eggo McMuffin. Yeah, you double up on the Eggos because they're so cheap. You get lots of them, bitches. You know, the eggs are expensive. I mean, that's, I don't know. They only live. How many eggs does a chicken make in a day? After all, right? No, it was wonderful, and it was sustenance. And of course, I never ate these things before noon, so that was the time of my life, you know, that I'm talking about here. I mean, you still have breakfast afternoon, obviously. Well, maybe not. Maybe you guys disagree with that point, but anyway, yeah, they were fire.
I do breakfast food for dinner more often than I should probably. Cause sometimes it's just really easy to be like, I got eggs, I got an English muffin, I have a fucking toaster. Put it together, eat, delicious. Ruli, what's the poor version of cuisine you've made for breakfast?
I can't think of any poor versions because I like breakfast. I'm not gonna like cut corners at breakfast time. Why would I do that?
Because it's delicious. All right, I'll give you the thing I still make that's the poor version. I call it the poor man's crepe. You get a strawberry, you get some strawberries, you get a banana, you cut them up nice and good. You get a tortilla, heat that motherfucker up. You smear a little bit of Nutella, maybe a little bit of peanut butter on there. Put that fruit on top, roll it up, baby. You got the poor man's crepe right there. Fucking delicious.
I love your dedication to reverse engineering every single piece of technology you come across.
What can I say, man? I love crepes, and I don't have the stuff to make a crepe. You know what I do have? Tortillas, and fruit, and Nutella.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So I've been sitting on this story, and I guess now because you've already bastardized a crepe. So
I'm French. I can do that. You guys can't.
What you ate was a sandwich.
Oh, we're not doing. Are we doing this? Are we really going there?
No, we're not. It's legal. There's legal law in Massachusetts. A court decides that a burrito is a sandwich.
But it's more like a taco than a burrito.
Wait, no, which one is it?
I can't imagine these people who spent so much time in law school and their career, and they have to have this argument about what is a burrito vis-a-vis
the product. The whole story behind that was like, some dude wanted to have like a burrito store open, and like they made like they're like, you can have sandwiches here, you can totally have a sandwich place and like, you know, do all this stuff, but they're like, no, hot burritos are not valid here because whatever. And yeah, they just basically convinced them to say like, hey, there are sandwiches, so they can go with the sandwich side of things.
Wow.
I mean, I'm wondering like what the burrito union they must have in that state. That's intense. Like their lobbyists are on point. Anheuser-Busch needs to take notes.
This was Indiana.
That's incredible.
Oh, so okay. Tom, you got me scared that like Boston, New England was fucked up. Indiana, fine. Fuck them. They can go and have their.
No, in Massachusetts, a burrito is not a sandwich.
Oh, thank
but
God.
In Indiana, it is.
Okay. Well, in Massachusetts, I'm from fucking Boston, yeah. So fuck you. We don't
in
got
Massachusetts, yogurt. A burrito is go fuck yourself.
I'm making breakfast here. That's New York. Fuck it. Now you just roll your eyes and say fuck all the fucking time. Anyway.
There we go.
Okay, so that already sounds horrible and gross. Did you at least heat up the tortilla before you did that?
That's how it melts the Nutella and the peanut butter. It's delicious. Okay. Thank you.
On a side note of advanced tortilla technology, I don't know if it's new or not, but like, have you seen like the ones where it's just basically like the dough and you've got to like cook it? It's not like already pre-cooked or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're definitely
that.
Better than the pre-cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you cook them. they're fresh and not full of preservatives. Now the best ones are the taco cabana ones where you go at 2 a.m. because you got to get your friend to drive you because they're all just way too high to drive at this point. and you buy all the tortillas they have. Like, you know, the lady at the window is all like, no, I mean, like we only sell them. And you're like, no, I want all your tortillas, all of them. Like, I'll pay you. I have American dollars. Like, please.
How many did they give you?
They gave me like 30 usually, and I would go through as many as I possibly could. The people behind me were pissed off because everything comes with tortillas, right? And so they didn't get any.
And I would want to dip that shit in queso, and then I would run out of queso, and I'd be like, "Hey, Matt, can I have your queso? You're not eating it." And he'd walk over and proceed to throw it in the trash can and go, "No."
Oh, I remember that. It was so amazing. What a power move. It's my case, so I can do what I want with it.
All right. Well, this is perfect segue to the next category. Worst breakfast restaurants. So, Trey, you already said Whataburger. I don't actually fucking like Whataburger. You're saying they got a good chicken sandwich.
The taquitos are good.
Yeah, they're above average for something that you get on the interstate, man. Like,
I'm dealing with Texans.
I'm not really that into Texas right now, even though I live there. But I'll say Whataburger is still pretty solid. And you know, the day it goes downhill, I'll let you guys know. But it's really the only fast food that my kid eats ever. And it's just we're on a road trip, and we need something. And they have pretty solid ingredients mostly. Yeah. Just don't go to the bad ones.
So what is the fast food breakfast of choice? I don't really like any fast food breakfast, to be honest with you. I have nostalgia for the Egg McMuffin with ham, not sausage. Fuck you. But like, I just fast food breakfast. It's not good. Shitty microwaved eggs and a shitty tortilla is not good.
I don't know. That's pretty bad. A bad bagel, like a corporate bagel. You're in this like, you know, 7 a.m. meeting back when we all worked in offices. And someone thought, oh, I'll make it better. I'll cater it or something. I'll get like fucking, you know, Jason's Deli to drop off a bunch of like the stalest muffins they've got. And it's just the worst. I don't know. Like, I'd rather not be disappointed. Just give me like coffee, because that way my expectations stay constant. Don't make me bite this thing and then spit out a bunch of crumbs in front of my boss.
I have such a low bar for food, so I'm like, Wendy's started breakfast.
I didn't even know they had breakfast.
No,
I like Wendy's.
I want to say they started maybe a year or two ago, and their big gimmick was, hey, like, we got like McDonald's chefs to make us our design and yada, yada, yada.
You're bragging about that, really?
No, that's what they were doing, so. but anyways... It was really good for the first like 2 weeks, because I think they were trying to get you hooked on it. And then after that, it was all downhill. I was just like, nope, this is not delicious. I have to change.
That's how many preservatives were in them. It lasts 2 weeks.
That is really, yeah, wow. That you could tell we pulled the plug on that thing basically immediately.
That's fucking hilarious.
I'll give a shout out to Sonic, because Sonic has some pretty decent egg sandwich sausage things.
Sonic's one of those places where I would never go there for like any of their actual like main things. Their burger is completely underwhelming. Like, all their main stuff is bad, but like, damn, Limeys are solid. And you know, I mean,
you
like
some ocean water.
Sure, why not? Right? Their fried cheese is pretty decent. Fried cheese for something that they microwaved, compared to like what other offerings there are. But if you ever eat the hot dog, you're gonna get like some serious intestinal illness. Like, don't bother. So I don't know. They're very uneven like that.
I don't do any of these fucking things. Sorry, guys.
I don't know. Yeah,
you don't,
so like,
you don't have a McGriddle, Tom. You don't have an egg with all the syrup in it, just to make sure you don't have to get another thing.
Now, you'd think that would sound delicious to me. I'm the one who just bragged earlier about putting fucking oatmeal syrup on their oatmeal. But no, I don't want the fucking McGriddle. Fuck the fucking McGriddle.
See, the thing about breakfast is, like, it's a choice. And so I'm not going to eat a bad breakfast, because, like, I could just have three coffees and amphetamines instead. And so I don't really understand why I would bother.
Dude, huge shout out. The bagel place next to Trey's house. I don't understand why some little tiny bagel shop in a strip mall outside of Austin, Texas has such fucking phenomenal bagels. And
because the guy
cheese.
Moved here from Trenton, New Jersey. And he brought his damn bagel making it with him, and it's pretty great. Yeah, including like the oven thing and the bath where he boils them or whatever the hell. I mean, someone else bought it, but like they keep doing it because they know it's a moneymaker.
So this goes into how do you categorize things. Is Quarter Bakery fast food?
Probably. But we'll put it in the gray area.
In the same way that, you know, fast fashion is it's quick and dirty, but like you feel nice wearing it.
Yeah. Is Chipotle fast food?
Hell yeah.
Then so is Corner Bakery. Sorry, bro. Do they have shit they microwave to hand to you? Fast food.
It's McDonald's people that think they're too good for McDonald's. I got it.
No, well, we established those are the Wendy's people.
No, the Wendy's people don't think they're too good for anything. They're just loving life. I don't know. Totally different crowd.
They're drinking their free junior Frosties because they're a card carrying member of the club.
Hell yeah, man. I'm saving a dollar on this thing while my Tesla charges. Like,
goddamn right.
So I will say that Quarter Bakery has some pretty delicious pancakes. However, I tried one of their egg bowls because it looked really delicious in the picture. And I think this was in like my I'm dumb phase because like I got it and I was like, this is horrible. I took a picture of it. I added Quarter Bakery on Twitter. It was like, this is what y'all are trying to sell. This is gross. And it was pretty sad.
Okay. So as far as,
they did, but I didn't even respond to them because I was like, it was just so horrible. Like they're not going to make it up to me. It was so sad.
Oh yeah. You don't tweet at them. You excrement at them and you'll get your rewards program. Okay. So I've been sitting here saying how much I don't like fast food breakfasts, and that's true, but I guess there's one sort of kind of, it's the closest to fast food breakfast diners you're going to get. And I fucking love them unironically.
I'm going to guess
Waffle House, motherfucker.
Waffle House. Oh, well, I was going to say Denny's.
There's nothing wrong with Waffle House.
Denny's and IHOP actually suck. Nostalgic memories, but they suck. Waffle House? I'll go to Waffle House any day of the fucking week. Yeah.
Well, no, so they're actually very much an institution. I mean, not just because there's a lot of them, but because like they're part of like FEMA's emergency response plan. Literally, there's a chart that's like, so the Waffle House never closes. Like, it never closes. And so they'll just keep reducing their menu as the floodwaters like rise in the windows. And they actually have this thing on like a color-coded, like, you know, laminated thing. And so essentially, you can tell how bad things are in an area by looking at like, pull up in your Google Maps and look at like the how busy is it right now at Waffle House in an area. And if it's not saying like busy as it gets, then shit's fucked up.
Yeah, no, if the Waffle House closes, you get the fuck out of town. That's the fucking problem.
Yeah, they don't provide keys to the employees because the door shouldn't be locked. It requires a district manager to come by, like on a boat, to lock the fucking door.
So, to just show how behind the times El Paso is, the nearest Waffle House is in Albuquerque.
Damn. Wow.
It's pretty tragic.
I don't think there's a Waffle House in Las Vegas. When you think about that for 2 seconds, you're like, Las Vegas? Really? That would be a gold mine of drunk people up early in the morning who need fucking sustenance.
You know, it tells me that they're real, though. They're not over here just trying to, like, play their image. They're just straight up just being like, no, we want to have, we are, like, trucker food for trucker people, and we are serious about it.
Standards.
Yeah. They're not going to just whore themselves out like that unless they're actually, you know, like, getting paid for sex. They actually, are, you know, believe in what they do. I like it. I respect that.
So, Corey had never...
I have one more.
Oh, okay.
Torchies?
Dude, Torchies for life. That's not... if that's fast food, I don't want to be wrong, okay? Like, I fucking love Torchies. I'll eat anything from Torchies anytime. Let's fucking go.
Their egg and chorizo tacos are pretty good.
Yeah, man. I mean, is it interior Mexican food? Hell no. Is it Mexican food? Probably not really at this point. but damn, is it good.
Oh, man. Let's see here. Gentlemen, I'm running out of categories for breakfast food questions.
Fancy. We haven't done fancy yet.
Oh, we haven't done considered fancy. All right, Trey, take us out. Enlighten us with the fanciness.
We are a bunch of rich hipsters over here. Yeah, and so we like this
loving motherfucker.
Benedict. That's for the hoi poi. No, we like our... There's a place called a pisserie over here in Austin. They're tiny and they're amazing and they're kind of like French New Orleans hybrid-y, which is just French, really, if you think about it. But they rotate their menu pretty small. Every time we go there, Lyra, she just only gets the beignets, which is a good move, and I support it. Like, you should just get the beignets. They're fire. But they have a thing where they'll do something with eggs, and like every month it'll be different, or week it'll be something different. And the one variation that was my very favorite, I called it eggs and eggs. That wasn't what it was called in the menu, but it was just eggs with roe, like fish eggs with on top of like soft like farm eggs.
That's disgusting.
Just eggs and eggs. And it was my very favorite. No. I could probably have eaten I was tempted to just keep ordering them. Like, be like, can I get like three or four? Can I get one more like 10 minutes to go bag or whatever? I'm like, this is embarrassing. I can't.
Was that an appetizer? Or was it like the meal?
No, it was just your meal. I mean, you know, it was on creme fraiche, and there was some other things in there, but it's basically just like two animals' eggs. Like, you are the apex predator. Go for it. I don't know. Nice. You feel like a boss to do this thing.
Oh, that's disgusting. Ruli, what's your fancy breakfast?
I can't even think of anything that's considered fancy, because I'm like, I'm always gonna get like whatever pancake stuff they have.
The correct answer was waffles. I'm sorry.
Has chorizo pancakes, which are pretty delicious.
What? Dude, okay. Right.
Exactly.
I like these two things, but no. No. Yes.
Okay. No, yes. No. Yes. I like it. I like it, yes. Because like this is the Mexican version of bacon pancakes. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Make a bacon pancakes.
But I will say the chicken and waffles is also my go-to, depending on what they have.
I mean, that's just a staple. That's just like, oh, you're a human being? Okay, cool. Chicken and waffles. So find me someone who doesn't like chicken and waffles. Hell, even the 45th person I'm thinking of liked chicken and waffles, and that guy, fuck that guy.
Well, you know, maybe he'll go to jail soon.
That'd be nice. 36 what? Sorry. Sorry. I'm guilty of not having paid full attention during this. I think was my head back, and was I snoring during this podcast? Oh yeah, baby. Oh yeah. Anyway, very excited about it. Today's a good day. Anyway,
it's a good day. I didn't even have to use my AK.
Oh Jesus fucking Christ. So okay, fancy breakfast. Look, guys, I'm not a fancy person. I mean, I do love me like a fancy savory crepe with like a cream sauce on it. That shit's delicious. I still, one of my favorite things, you want to talk about pancakes, because I am a waffle over pancake guy, but Ruby's in fucking New York, the ricotta stuffed fucking pancake with Nutella served on the side. Jesus fucking Christ, it's so good. That's as fancy as I get. That's as fancy.
I want to wind this back and be like, I'm not a fancy guy, and then it's like, and here I am on the island, you know, in the city.
Oh, fuck.
That does sound good. That sounds really good, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the only thing, I'm trying to think of what I haven't mentioned for breakfast foods. And we haven't really talked about French toast. And ooh, I do love me some fucking French toast. And Japanese white bread is the best shit to make French toast with, by the way.
Yeah, actually, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'll take your word for it.
No, so true. Japanese breakfast is super weird, by the way. So
yeah, it's eggs and eggs. Yeah, you told us.
Well, no, that's just like Frenchy swamp people breakfast, who like to charge Austin hipsters a lot of money, and I'm happy to pay.
Real loving fuckers,
right? Sell me a simulacrum of your food. No, the Japanese breakfast, like the traditional version, is basically just like whatever kind of thing you had left over from the night before. It's sort of like usually it's like fish and salad. I'm like, fish and salad for breakfast sounds pretty messed up, but if you were messed up the night before, it's the perfect cure for what you need to get back and going again. So it was funny, you know, at hotels in Japan, if they're trying to offer like an international breakfast, they'll be like, okay, we got pancakes, and then we got fish heads, and now we're moving on to the soup, which also has, you know, fish bits, and it's perfect. It's actually pretty good once you just lean into it. It's not a thing, not a bad thing at all. But I can't concur that their bread is very high quality.
I blame Google, because as soon as you said Japanese breakfast, I looked it up, and like everything on the top, whatever 20 links, is just like a band. So Japanese breakfast is an American Indian band. Pop band. Like, okay, then give me the real thing, please.
I wish I was wittier, because I always want to do that's my blank cover band joke, and I'm so bad at that. I can never think of a good one. So like Japanese breakfast, that's my blank cover band.
Yeah, that's my late 90s indie rock cover band.
Okay, it's pretty good. Oh man. Okay, gentlemen, anything else to say about breaking the fast?
Leftover pizza is delicious.
Oh, yeah, you can't go wrong with leftover pizza.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'll eat that shit anytime. I'll take pizza out of the fridge and just eat it without just cold, let alone room temperature or heat. Pizza of any kind, any day.
I mean, yeah. No, I actually have three words for you, Tom. Pam's, hateful, hussy.
Oh, dude. Ruli, you remember that, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. Tallahena, Oklahoma. The middle of nowhere, but it connects to Arkansas via a scenic byway. There is one diner in the whole goddamn town. It's called Pam's Hateful Hussy Diner. It is the best. Like, I would love to go back there fucking someday if I ever, I don't know why the fuck I'll ever be in Oklahoma, but like, oh my God, dude. All the food is fantastic. So that's like a very literal home cooking. They're making it all in the back kind of thing. But also it's cheap as fuck. You go there with a $20 bill, you throw it on the table and you're like, I'll take one of everything. It's like, cool, oh, yeah. I'll get fried mushrooms, I'll get the Indian bread, I'll get the pie, I'll get the coffee, I'll get the hash browns, I'll get the grits, I'll get the chicken, I'll get the waffles. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ, it was delicious.
It was incredible. No, I mean, like, this was like, last time I was there was probably like 2015, and the coffee was 20 cents. Like 20 cents. They're like cash mostly. They're like confused about credit cards. They're like, oh my God, okay.
Oh, so good, dude.
Looks like they're still open, so.
Yeah, they're the only thing in that fucking town, dude. They got no competition. It was actually really sad. We kind of made friends with some people in that town. We passed through it so often. And like one lady moved in and was like, okay, cool. I'm going to make something in this town. So she made like a little like tiki bar thing. And then she was trying to make a diner. And like someone like literal arson burned down one of her restaurants because like they didn't want that shit in their town. And so she's like, well, fuck it. I'm out of here. Then they win. And so she packed up and fucking left. It sucks. It's so sad.
Kind of, yeah, right. It's kind of a weird vibe. We're like, we're happy to have some folks come by, but like, don't stay too long.
Yeah, no, come by as in, hi, bye. Oh my God, Pam's Hateful Hussy, dude. Oh my God, the shit.
I'm pretty sure the Indian bread was just beignets, but I wasn't complaining.
No, I mean, why would you? It was fucking delicious. All right, gentlemen.
Reverse engineering, but yeah, go ahead.
Let's get to the news.
Good news, everyone! Great news, everyone! Bad news, everyone!
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
You all?
Well, gentlemen, I actually don't have a lot of news stored up here. Zach said that ICQ is shutting down, so that's the end of a fucking era, I guess.
I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, we all remember the idea of having a social network where everyone was just, like, using their actual unique identifier, their number. And they just said that was like your front and center. Yeah, you could have an alias or whatever, but like, here's your GWID, bitch. Like, I'd love that.
Initial release, November 15th, 1996, 27 years ago. Wow.
What? Wow, that's earlier than I thought. I thought it was like 1999 or something. Wow.
Yeah, like, I know I used it at one point, but not really. I was never on ICQ very much. I was on the fucking TI-83 message boards. That's where the fuck I lived. Yeah. The client was bought by AOL in 1998. Holy shit. And then bought by I guess a Russian group in 2010. Jeez, this is interesting.
I'm curious what the community was doing. Like for the 20 years we weren't looking at this thing. Like, what was it? Who was there?
Yeah, it's one of the things you think that was probably like dead already.
But it wasn't though, right? It was enough for like someone to pay money for it and to keep the servers up. I mean, Google can't keep the servers up for like their home devices 20 seconds after they launch, so I'm really impressed.
Oh God, fucking every Google product keeps getting fucking worse, dude. It's driving me fucking nuts.
But I guarantee you that ICQ stayed consistently the same for two fucking decades. I call that success.
Right?
I think they've done a better job than anything that ever happened in fucking Mountain View.
They went open source in March of 2016. Yeah, they got bought up in 2020, and they're doing, like, the new version, ICQ new. I guess in 2021, it saw increasing popularity in Hong Kong. I wonder why. Yeah, and they said they're shutting down. I'm actually kind of surprised. You'd feel it'd be pretty cheap to just keep the lights on in this, or some open source community would just keep it alive. So, interesting.
Well, you got to wonder what the server architecture looked like, given that it was written in probably 1990X. And
touché.
The Y2K bug didn't take it down.
Oh man, I'm looking at the clients that supported them. And Pigeon, I remember Pigeon. It was like one of the first multi-platform chat apps that I could like log into all my shit in one chat app. Oh,
hell God, yeah, so Pigeon, so Trillium, GM.
Yeah,
That shit was awesome.
Oh, Trillion's on here too. Yep, yep. Oh man, good times. Yeah, pour those, one out those, for those things ICQ.
Pioneered, yeah, yeah. No, that sorry, they pioneered the whole like ability to like manipulate your online status because apparently everything was just client side with things like AIM. They just trust the client.
I see no problem with this. All right, moving on. So I guess in some interview, dude, George Lucas, man, George Lucas, like this guy. Said there's, quote, almost no original thinking in filmmakers these days. The story they're telling are just old movies. Let's do a sequel. Let's do another version of this movie. George, hey, have you seen that kettle, man? Because, like, oh, dude, this pot, you guys should go out. You guys should get together. Like, fucking Christ.
I mean, like, can someone link him the Plinkett reviews at right? some point just to let him know that this is what we think about you?
I mean, even if you want to go all the way back, right? Because, like, George Lucas has a legacy, and I'm not trying to take that away from him. If you go all the way back, like, Star Wars isn't even fucking original. Like, this quote of, let's do another version of this movie. Star Wars was literally because he could not get the rights to Flash Gordon. It was just supposed to be Flash fucking Gordon.
Well, yeah, and he took a bunch of things from other things, and that's just fine. But, like, coming at people and acting like, oh, well, I'm better than you guys. Because right? I didn't steal is really just, you know, very, yeah, no,
the
very
guy who made six
disingenuous.
Star Wars movies and the guy who made fucking five Indiana Jones movies and is still making them. It's like, George, you gotta shut up, buddy.
I mean, maybe he's just like trying to be like, as the guy that brought you Willow.
Which they already took off of streaming, apparently, right? You can't watch the Willow
what?
Series anymore. It's gone.
Boo.
I think. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway... Go George Lucas. I don't know, man. Take your billions of dollars and just go retire in silence, dude. Get out of here. Ruli, what did you just send us? Something for later?
It's a video game teaser because there was the Sony State of Play. I'm just seeing if there's anything interesting.
Oh,
there.
Cool. Okay, yeah, we'll watch that afterwards. All right, moving on. So I never watched this guy's infamous... Not quite a documentary. Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock dies at age 53. I believe it was cancer related. Did you guys ever watch Super Size Me? Did you ever see the thing?
Yeah, I remember that. It was at the time, you know, it's pretty like shocking.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah.
Yeah, no
but
shit.
Again, at the time, you're dealing with like a sort of a very monolithic culture. And basically just coming out and being like, no, this shit's terrible and I'm against it was kind of provocative.
Yeah. Which apparently, though, he was like, again, I'm not an expert here. Apparently, he was, like, totally stretching the truth and fabricating a few things in it. But, yeah, the concept of, like, hey, it's unhealthy to eat fast food every day. We do look at that today and go, no fucking shit.
I think he was also a raging alcoholic at the time. But I don't want to be, like, slanderous. But I can swear that there was a bunch of stuff coming out pretty recently that it just, like, yeah, it's bad. But also, you know, what really kills your liver is all that alcohol. Don't do that.
I mean, you have to remember that, like, you know, the stuff all was like, at 04, right? Just like right before the notion of like, we have health conscious food available that's not just, you know, low fat, right? There wasn't gluten free options. There weren't like, organic food was a sort of like a vague idea. It wasn't even a marketing term that had been hoarded out yet. So, different times.
Oh, totally. I mean, I like to talk about that, like, with Corey. Like, I mean, you know, the small town my family grew up in New England, I mean, like, we literally had the Chinese food restaurant, as in there was one. It had the word the in front of it, right? There was one Burger King. There was one McDonald's. Ramen didn't exist. Korean didn't exist. Like, sushi didn't exist. And nowadays, there's just all these options and different quality and different places. And no matter where you go, like, yeah, I mean, we all live near or in major cities, but, like, there's tons of options. Back then, it was like, yeah, it's cool. I got a McDonald's burger. It was a big deal when a Wendy's moved in. Like, ooh, right. A burger well, it's square. Oh my God, guys, the square patty. What the fuck's happening?
It's all relative to perspective, right? If you have a captive audience that's convinced that, like, you're this big chain, you're a cultural zeitgeist, you're bringing something new, then people are going to just kind of take you at face value. And in the, you know, early internet era, until call it 2004, the early internet era, your mom wasn't on Facebook yet. Shut up. It wasn't even a thing. It was barely a thing. It was the Facebook. Anyway, They didn't really, you know, everyone's in those little bubbles just enjoying their waiting in line for Starbucks like rubes until someone had to come along and be like, well, fair enough. But
I mean, Starbucks was starting to become a thing around that time, right? It wasn't a big thing yet.
I mean, I still remember hearing like from, you know, every time like Starbucks came across like a giant wave, and like every time it reached like another Midwestern town, it was like it shut down the town for a week, right? And that's fine because hype is hype. That's what it is. I'm not judging the people or anything, but like, you know, you can't do that anymore because like everyone's going to feel like, yeah, I mean, like I saw it on TikTok and I'm not that impressed anymore.
Okay.
I think the last big one that was like had a line going out the door was like Krispy Kreme when they opened up their first one in El Paso. This was like a decade ago.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, at least they have an assembly line. They can serve everyone pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the free hot donuts was also a big game changer because who does that? Who just gives here's a free donut? I'm like, okay.
It still surprises me. It still surprises me every time I go in and and they're just like, here's free food. And I'm like, what? I don't need your pamphlets.
It's just like, I just wanted one. Like, do I have to pay for the other one now? I guess.
Would you like a receipt? We do not need to bring paper and ink into this transaction. I will take my donut. No, dude, the thing I could never get over still to this day was In-N-Out lines in Dallas. When In-N-Out moved into Dallas, that shit was fucking obscene. Multiple hour lines. Now, the Californians are still fucking crazy. There are like 20-minute lines still at In-N-Out here. But like, plural fucking hours. The fuck.
It's a hamburger. It's just a hamburger.
I know.
It's just a fucking hamburger. I mean, like, so. I mean, the closest to that I've ever, the longest I've ever waited in line for a hamburger is at a Hop Dotty here in Austin.
Hop Dotty's good.
Yeah, hipster ass place. But when they first came out, of course, there was a line. But they serve margaritas in line, so I was like, I mean, I'll wait for this.
Right.
Shit. I mean, can I just stay in the line? Can I go again?
How to make Space Mountain even better. All right, moving on. So finally, Square Enix has actually been having some troubles lately. If we didn't talk about it much on the podcast last time, but they just shut. So they've been having some problems with not having. There were a lot of rumors that Final Fantasy 16 undersold because it was locked on to one platform. Same with Final Fantasy 7 Remake and Rebirth, and apparently they finally came out and admitted that was true, that they're having a problem with sales because, being locked solely onto Sony is not good. So they're going to try to go much more cross-platform. So during this, they also announced, and this flew under the radar because of all the other fucking layoffs going on around the games industry. They said, okay, we used to do all these little weird side games. We're shuttering all of them. We're focusing only on our AAA titles, end of conversation. But they didn't announce what that was that they were shuttering. Lots and lots, like billions of yen, lots of projects. So one of the things that had been announced back in 2021 and hadn't been literally a single news headline until earlier this week was they were making an HD 2D remake of Dragon Quest III. And so it was kind of assumed that had been lost. And nope, they have announced that the game draws near. So they're going to supposedly announce a date in the they announced the announcement for announcing a date. But that is finally happening. So this is a little interesting to me because, you know, I think the HD2 games are cool. I'm kind of excited to see remakes of these dog ancient games that new generations can't play whatsoever. But also, as a game dev, man, look, there's a lot of things that are tough about game development. There are. If you gave me a complete immutable game design doc and you said, hey, Tom, you don't need to worry about anti-cheat or microtransactions or always online servers and over-the-air patching, just take this game design doc and make a game. I'd be like, well, fuck, guys. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Let's go. okay, that's an exaggeration, but not really. So the fact that it's taken them 3 years to make this, I'm like, that sounds like development hell to me. That means something was fucking wrong. Not that HD2D is easy to make by any stretch, but it's also not 3D modeling in the conventional sense. Your design doc was full. You don't have on. You already had a translation from all the other games to work from. I'm like, that shouldn't take.
Yeah, so art assets and some programming to tie it together.
Okay, so there you go. I just ranted for like 2 minutes straight about Dragon Quest III HD 2D. Do either of you give a fuck about Dragon Quest?
No.
No, not really.
Not one.
Sorry, but it's nice to hear you talk about it.
It's the enthusiasm.
Yeah. I have so much nostalgia for JRPGs, but I hardly play them anymore. Like, I was excited when, you know, Corey was playing through Chrono Trigger for a bit, and I did start playing Super Mario Thousand Year Door. It's actually pretty damn good. But I just... roguelikes have replaced my JRPGs. I get that JRPG combat, but I don't have to spend 20 hours grinding gobs in the dunes to get one new fucking spell. So.
You say that, but how much time have you spent on Balatro trying to make Jokerless happen?
That's true. Stop trying to make Jokerless happen. It's not going to happen. I don't think we still haven't beat that. Goddamn, dude. That's so hard. I don't know how you did it. You're crazy.
I just hated my way through it. Just kind of really, really wait, hate yourself.
You can, that's a thing that you could actually do as a sane person?
Challenge 20 out of 20. Yeah, the last one.
Took me about 20 hours, I think. I got it. You just have to figure out a way to do a thing without any resources. It's fine.
Balatro's so good. Really, one, you should play Balatro. But two, I want to play Inscription, but I think I'm going to have to buy it on Switch despite my love and addiction to the deck. Because the devs of Inscription officially said, finally, we will not be adding controller support. The main dev has moved on. We're not backporting stuff from the contractors who put it on Switch. So they've said there will be no controller support for Inscription on PC ever. But you can still buy it on console. So I'm considering buying it on Switch just to play Inscription because everyone says it's great. You said it's great. I know I should play it. So,
one, I've played Balatro. I've talked about it a bunch of times. Where have you been?
You're not as addicted as we are. How many hours did you play Balatro?
I don't know, probably like 12 or something. But I saw you got up to like 40 or something.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Never mind. Wow, I'm so proud of you right now. What's your biggest hand?
Oh, I've gotten nowhere anything astronomical. I'm just happy enough to beat the normal round thing.
It felt great to finally get a full round of Balatro, I admit. It was fucking great. And then I broke a million in one hand. I was like, ooh, this is fantastic. Trey over there broke math. He's like, yeah, we use scientific notation over here, plebs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that my highest single hand is something like E20.
Right.
Like,
you and your base 10 bullshit. That's cute.
Well, so most roguelites, the good ones, always have this notion of like it's a scalar and the goal is to beat and break it. Just break the scalar. Find a way to like hack your way around it within the context of the game. And they encourage you to do it in Balatro. That's the whole point. It's like, can you math back as hard as it's mathing at you? Because it's definitely trying to keep you down, dog.
Oh, wow. I've actually played 20 hours. So
the one of the early high score runs, I had two jokers. One that just made all of your face cards gold cards, and one that was the vampire, and it just eats all of your buffs off the cards and powers itself up to give you time as multi. And if you have both of them together, starting at like ante one, he just keeps like sucking down all of your buffs like the whole time. It's like this like, and I would actually just play like really low scoring hands on purpose and to drag out the time. And it got ridiculous. He was like, I think at the end of it, he was like times 40 something.
Did you get the blueprint joker who copies the joker to the right? And then you have times 40.
I had blueprint and I had brainstorm. So it was like, it was 40 with 40 with 40. By the end of it. And eventually the scaler still catches you though. I mean, like, it's like, it's like the Yeti from Ski Free, right? You can't really
Oh,
but
dude.
You could try.
Oh man, that's so fucking good. It's a great fucking game. So glad that one dev has made it big. It's so great. All right, my last headline, which is not a headline whatsoever, is the first look at the mysterious Lord of the Rings character Tom Bombadil in Lord of the Rings: Rings of Power.
Is that the Amazon show? Not the new movie.
Yeah, that's the Amazon show. I don't know. I don't care. Did you guys watch Rings of Power?
So, no, I haven't, but I am actually pretty familiar with Tom Bombadil, the character from the source material, who's awesome, by the way, but also just a stand-in for the author, so it's kind of a weird thing to put in your show. It's like every Heinlein novel, every now and then you meet someone who's like, just, it's Heinlein. He just like, he's carrying a martini, he just walked out with some girl on his arm, and like, yeah, it's just the author. He's going to tell you about something, and then he goes away again, because he can't be here too long, it'll get weird. So what they're going to do with this will be very interesting to me, because I haven't seen one of these things in a show. It's usually the kind of thing you cut out of your movies and shows, because it's like, yeah, it's the, indulgent.
Well, let us know when you watch Rings of Power, and you can tell us how meeting Tolkien in-universe went for you.
I hope they honestly probably, like the actor, just watched a bunch of like archival footage of Tolkien. Like, that's what you should do, buddy. Like, that's him. That's the character. That's who you're supposed to be. Like... Occasionally you stare at the camera and awesome powers that shit too, if you will. I mean, you can break the fourth wall. No one cares. It's your world.
So we have teed up an episode for QQ to talk about James Bond shit. And I kind of do want to rewatch the Austin Power, or at least the first Austin Powers, to prep for that cast. Because I don't know, man. I hope it's aged well, because goddamn, that movie was so funny back in its day.
We saw it like a month ago, and it holds up.
Does it?
I mean, not in the same way, but it holds up. It's fun. You should definitely watch it again.
Must watch.
It's one of those movies where like they actually put it on some good bones, even though it was just a goofy, dumb '90s thing. It's got good bones. It's got legs.
All right. Well, cool. Ruli, you have one trailer here. I don't even want to watch the other trailer that I put in here. So, unless anyone has more than one trailer, we're just gonna do this one.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. In a land that...
No, in a land.
In a time...
Nah, I don't think so.
In a land before time.
Yep, yep, yep.
So actually, it's really great we used that sound effect at the end of that, because that's exactly what we're about to watch. All right, so this is a game, right, Ruli?
Yes. I don't even know if it's a gameplay trailer or a trailer. I don't know. We're all going to find out together. We're all going to learn together.
All right. Trey, tell dear listener what we're about to watch.
Alien Rogue Incursion. First gameplay.
Pipe
PS VR2 games. Sorry, I got distracted.
I know, right? So bad at this. So yeah, the Sony State of Play was today, so there's a lot of new game trailers I haven't watched yet. Holiday 2024, so I guess this is probably sort of promotional for Alien Romulus. Jesus, a VR game like this? Oh my god. VR, this is terrifying.
It's gonna hug your face.
Wow, that...
Okay, so... First thought, I can't believe it took us this long to get a VR Alien game. They seem like the perfect match, right?
Ooh, good little ending there.
Jump scares.
Yeah, I mean, Alex had a lot of horror spots. This is going to be something else, Jesus. But it's PSVR. I only know one person who owns a PSVR headset. I don't think I know a single person that owns a PSVR 2 headset, because they weren't fucking backwards compatible. So who the fuck is going to buy this?
At least they're making the game.
I should look into whether or not this is going to be cross-platform. No one's going to make a game like this for just PlayStation VR. You'd have to sell literally two copies to every owner, and you still would lose money.
Well, so that's why VR is dead, right there. You just said it. Yeah. The fragmented market is killing Square Enix, and it definitely killed VR before it was really out of the cradle, more like came up with a pillow. Anyway.
Did we see the Romulus trailer together? I want to say we did.
I mean, I think so. I'll watch it again if you want to watch it again. Fucking, I just want to gush.
Do it.
All right, fuck it. We're doing it.
Do it.
Get out of my way, share screen thingy. This can't be real. It can't be. There's a new trailer.
3 days ago.
Yeah, but I call bullshit. It's on like Screen Culture and shit.
Oh.
Yeah, no, someone's mixing bullshit. Yeah, this has got to all be just fake horse shit that they created. Someone's using AI to fuck with us. Oh, snap. Welcome to the future. Yeah, 13 million views, 100,000 views. I wonder which one of these is real. Okay, teaser.
Gotta get those clicks.
Oh, I told you guys I went and saw Alien in the theater, like Alien, the original in the theater a month or so ago, right?
I vaguely remember this, yes.
God, dude, it looked so
and
good.
How was it?
So
yeah.
Extreme. Because it's real sets. It's fucking metal. Like, it looks so good.
Yeah, it's amazing what they could do whenever they have, like, some puppets and a place, a real place.
Run.
So many face arms.
Right?
I've also been annoyed always with the whole, like, why are you guys bothering to CGI the interior of a spaceship? Spaceships are small. You can do it on a soundstage for real.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
All right, let's see if there's any other video games worth watching from State of Play or fuck it. Path of Exile 2. I got some friends that are gonna fucking wet their pants for that one.
So have either of y'all played Hades 2 yet? Actually, gotten on the early access?
Hello, we have a guest. Is she gonna... I can't move. Anyway, there is a kitty. A kitty.
Aw.
No, I think I want to wait a little bit more.
Oh my god, she's on my lap.
Because it's early access. I'm pretty sure it'll be fine, but...
It's kind of like catching waves when you're like surfing or bodyboarding, right? Where you're like, okay, so how early access are we talking here? Like, do I want to jump in front of this thing and have it, you know, like flop on me? But I'm also not going to wait for it to be like out of early access officially, because some games never are, and that's just regular. Like, if I was still waiting for that, I would never have enjoyed like Valheim for the last whatever number of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're keeping the story out of the early access, so go enjoy the gameplay and just do the story later on when you when it fucking releases. Have fun.
I just wish we had a nomenclature for, like, it's early-ish access, but it's more or less complete. Future complete access. Like, we need a middle tier.
Yeah, that's called 12 months into early access. okay, I don't know. I don't see anything on here I give a flying fuck about, frankly. There's a Silent Hill 2 remake. Hooray! I don't care.
Part of the fun of Silent Hill 2, though, was that it was, like, kind of, like, crappy looking and the claustrophobic and scary, and it was supposed to be depressing. So making it look shiny or even, like, modern seems like an antithetical.
Yeah, that and, like, I keep hearing all this stuff of how, like, they're improving the combat and stuff like that. I'm like, no, you want to run away and be scared of Pyramid Head. You don't want to go up against Pyramid Head with an AK. It just is a totally different game.
Right. Like, if you're not beating this deformed nurse to death with a nail bat while using tank controls, I don't see what the point is.
Okay, well, now I'm clicking on it. Oh, wants me to sign in to watch it. Fuck this. All right. Trey, think of music for us to go out on while I do this thing. Hey, dear listener, thank you so very much for joining us. Please always remember that any and all views expressed in the podcast are representative solely of the person expressing them, not of their friends, family, co-hosts, or co-workers, and certainly not their employers, past, present, or future. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for respecting our individuality. Trey, what are we going out on?
Decepticon by Le Tigre.
What is this?
I'm sure you can spell Decepticon.
Who going out by...
Le Tigre right there, yeah.
Oh, I spelled it like a different thing. Okay. What are you getting us into?
I already like it.
All right, well, gentlemen, thank you for discussing breakfast foods, the most exciting topic in the world, but I thought it'd be fun. It was fun. So thank you for having fun. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom. I'm hungry now.
Woo,
I know, so I gotta go have breakfast for dinner.
I gotta go Amazon Prime me overnight a toaster so that I can
it
make
turns out that
Elevensies
Elevensies works twice a day.
Oh god, the cat's pulling my headphones off. Jesus fuck. Okay. Well, I'm not long for this world. Alright, until next time, dear listener. QQ! Right, capturing a little more music. Seriously, the cat is on the headphone. I can't put my head up.
That's it, I'm getting out of here.